Welcome to the latest episode of the Galactic News Desk. As we celebrate another May the 4th event, I wanted to catch you up on all of the Star Wars news you may have missed in the previous month. There's so much happening around the galaxy each and every day, and it's hard to keep track of all of it. But that's where I come in. As I mentioned in March, I want each episode of the Galactic News Desk series to be evergreen, so no matter when you listen to it, whether it is today, next month, or in 3 years from now, the stories will be just as relevant, just as interesting, and will provide a satisfying historical timeline for Star Wars. And the topics covered on the Galactic News Desk range from Star Wars collecting news to a look at the films and series, from the original trilogy to upcoming ones yet to be released. And I'll also highlight Star Wars news from the Disney theme parks, as well as from the publishing world and any other area the franchise appears on our planet. In this episode, you'll gather a little more insight into the Star Wars news that popped up on your radar over the previous 30 days. For example, you may have heard about a certain recent Goodwill auction. But do you know the final selling price, or how collectors in the community perceived it? And what did the Goodwill manager think about the sale? My goal is to give you more of the story, with fuller context, and to tell that story in a compelling way. But you'll also hear Star Wars news that never reached you when it first occurred. Do you know Lucasfilm's official date for the next Star Wars film? Have you seen which Star Wars items are making a return to the Disney theme parks after a seemingly permanent farewell? And have you heard Lucasfilm's explanation for how Sabine Wren can appear in the same Galaxy's Edge land as Kylo Ren and not destroy the Star Wars canon? See, I thought you'd be curious to learn more about these Star Wars stories you may have missed. This is a roundup of the fascinating Star Wars news from the month of April. This is a report from the Galactic News Desk. And this is Star Wars Prototypes and Production.
Coruscant to Tatooine, and every planet in between, Star Wars, Prototypes and Production, with your host, David Quinn.
Lord Vader.
It's a trap!
Yes, Master.
Understand and fight.
The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
The Force will be with you. Always.
And now, Star Wars Collectors News. Goodwill Jawas. The team at the Ohio Valley Goodwill Donation Center was puzzled. In March, they received a donation of two carded Star Wars figures, a pair of Jawas to be exact. And while Star Wars figures carried a reputation for being valuable, Vanessa Sevier and her group had difficulty finding comparable sales online for these particular Jawas. The action figures were produced by Kenner and were released in 1978 during the frenzy spurred by the first film. Both figures were still sealed in their blisters, and the card backs were unpunched and were without price stickers. The team put the pair up for auction on the Shop Goodwill site, and within a week, the price hit $5,000. As you can assume, these were no ordinary Jawas. The first batch of Jawa figures off the assembly line were dressed with light brown vinyl capes. However, with the figures being so tiny in stature, Kenner then opted to make them more enticing to shoppers. As a result, the company ditched the vinyl capes in favor of a more premium cloak, a dark brown sewn cloth. And for most collectors, the cloth cape Jawas were the ubiquitous ones, the figures most of us played with and owned as children. but the rarity and lore of the vinyl cape Jawa made one heavily desirable and a showcase piece for any collector. And while loose versions were rare, finding a carded example was exponentially harder. And Goodwill suddenly found themselves with two in the same auction. The auction ended at the beginning of the month on April 2nd. The pair of rare vinyl cape Jawas hammered at $19,000, shocking both Goodwill and vintage collectors everywhere. The final price meant that each vinyl cape Jawa sold for a little less than $10,000. And while some Star Wars collectors tried to justify the substantial cost for each, many argued that the winning bidder likely overpaid. Some defended the sale by noting that a carded vinyl cape Jawa sold at the Hakes catalog auction on March 20th for $36,600. It was graded by the Action Figure Authority, or AFA, and was given an impossibly high grade to achieve for an almost 50-year-old toy, an 85-plus out of 100, with 100 being perfect and in mint condition. In the collecting groups, Star Wars fans pointed out that neither in the Goodwill pair would grade at a similar number, and would be worth far less. They highlighted the crease in the upper right corner on one that would lower the overall grade, along with edge wear of both figures' cardbacks. But the most substantial damage was the severe denting on the tops of the bubbles. Combining all these issues with the pieces, many collectors felt each would not grade higher than a 70 out of 100. And a carded vinyl cape Jawa graded at a 70 sold at a November Hakes auction for $10,000, roughly the price the Goodwill bidder paid for each one, minus potential grading fees. And whether the winner got caught up in the excitement of a bidding war, simply overpaid, or felt the price was justified in bringing home two vinyl cape Jawas, the proceeds from the auction are going to a good cause, helping those within the community. When asked about the impact of the sale, Goodwill's manager said, "That's going to change a lot of lives. Whether it be a person with a disability or a homeless veteran who are able to get in off the streets and into their own apartments, able to get their own jobs and back into the community, that right there makes it well worth it." Heir to the Multipack. Hasbro is bringing four iconic Star Wars characters from Timothy Zahn's novels to the Black Series 6-inch action figure line. The toy company is releasing a four-figure set from the final book in the 1990s Heir to the Empire trilogy. Titled The Last Command, it features Luke Skywalker in his black Jedi outfit and Mara Jade, each of whom has been reissued for the set. It also introduces two new sculpts to the line, that of Joris Sabaoth, the insane clone of a former Jedi Master, and his apprentice, a vicious clone of Luke, spelled with two U's. The artwork on the box is reminiscent of the cover art from the series, and the set comes with extra accessories, like an alternate head for Mara Jade and a pair of extra hands for Joris Sabaoth, one shooting force lightning from the fingertips. The four-pack became available on March 27th for pre-order on the Hasbro Pulse site at a price of $100. It will appear on the Disney Store site and in the Disney parks this summer. The Heir to the Empire trilogy has amassed a massive following since its release. And for Star Wars and Black Series fans, it's encouraging to see these fan-favorite characters added to the 6-inch toy line, more than three decades after the books appeared in stores. The events of The Last Command are not considered canon in the Star Wars universe, but many of the stories still resonate with audiences. And this release from Hasbro may mean more action figures to come from the Legends side of the galaxy. The Forgotten World of Phantom Toys. Which Phantom Menace toys and products never made it to retail? That's the focus of an exhibit heading to the London Film and Comic-Con this summer. The exhibit is the third in a series that highlights unproduced toys and abandoned concepts from the Star Wars universe. and it is curated and hosted by David Tree, a fell collector and owner of the UK-based toy store All the Cool Stuff. Here's David to tell us more about the exhibit.
Coming this July, over the 5th to the 7th, is the London Film and Comic Con, held at London Olympia in England. And as part of that within, the Star Wars Zone allows fans to interact with some of the leading Star Wars costuming groups, meet official Star Wars artists, guests from the franchise, take part in game demonstrations, and a rare opportunity to see some special themed exhibits. In 2022, the Missing Saga Collection was a toy exhibition that took a look back at the unproduced concepts relating to the 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones and the Saga Collection toy line. For 2023, Return to the Concepts exhibit was a rare insight into some of the toys and ideas that never made it to full retail relating to the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. 2024 sees the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace. All the Cool Stuff and the prototype archives return to the Star Wars Zone with their largest toy exhibit yet, the Phantom Toys of Episode 1, a deep dive into the abandoned product development concepts during the era associated to Episode 1. This is the first time parts of this collection will be on show in the UK. It contains documents and ideas from initial sketch concepts proposals to final product prototypes. The Phantom Menace was responsible for one of the largest merchandising and licensing launches in history. And it was everywhere. It contained every product. So to think that many products never actually made it to market is unfathomable. But here, for the first time, there is a large collection on show. Some of it is well documented and well known about within the toy collecting community, but there are also included concepts that many people aren't even aware of. This is an incredible opportunity, not just for Star Wars fans and collectors, but just toy fans in general. And we are delighted to debut this exhibit at the Star Wars Zone at London Film and Comic Con. So don't miss out your chance to see some of these rare gems Friday through to Sunday, 5th to the 7th of July at London Olympia, England. And now it's back to the studio to Quin Man Boss for Star Wars Prototypes and Production. I'm Dave Tree.
As David mentioned, the exhibit comes to you courtesy of All the Cool Stuff and from Brandon Vise's wonderful Prototype Archives website. If you're a modern Star Wars prototype fan, or if you're curious to view rarely seen unproduced toys from the era of Episode 1, you'll find the exhibit a worthwhile adventure. The London Film and Comic Con runs from July 5th through the 7th this summer. And now, Star Wars movie news. The Mandalorian has a date. Hot off Disney's contentious battle to retain both its current board members and continue CEO Bob Iger's vision for a turnaround, the company updated its release slate on April 6th. And it appears that Lucasfilm finally has an official release date for its next Star Wars movie. The Mandalorian and Grogu, the next chapter in the Mandalorian saga, will make its theatrical debut on May 22nd, 2026. Jon Favreau is attached to direct, and Pedro Pascal is reported to be stepping into Din Djarin's suit once again. It will replace the untitled Star Wars film from Taika Waititi that was announced years earlier and is likely still in development limbo. The Mandalorian and Grogu will play a crucial role in the future of Star Wars success. The film is a return to theaters after an almost 7-year absence, and will be the first since 2019's Rise of Skywalker. It will introduce a new era for the franchise, and may be Lucasfilm's best chance for drawing a global movie-going audience of all ages. In 2019, Disney introduced the Mandalorian series on Disney+. The Mandalorian helped the company make the seamless transition to the small screen heading into the pandemic, where the focus shifted from theaters to streaming. Now, Disney is once again calling on Din Djarin and Grogu as the company shifts its strategy back toward theatrical releases again. And The Mandalorian will join tentpole offerings from Pixar and Marvel in 2026, with Toy Story 5 and the first Avengers sequel since 2019. The May 22nd date will be the first spring Star Wars release since 2018's Solo, a Star Wars Story film. The news is somewhat disappointing, however. Originally expected to premiere in 2025, the film's new 2026 date means an almost 3-year wait for the next chapter of the Mandalorian story. And with the focus shifting to the big screen, the chances of seeing a fourth season on Disney Plus in the meantime is very slim. And while Disney officially announced the date for The Mandalorian and Grogu, there is always the possibility of a delay. Filming for The Mandalorian and Grogu will begin in June of this year in California. A Writer at Dawn. The Hollywood Reporter recently broke the news that Lucasfilm has hired Bo Willimon to co-write the script for James Mangold's upcoming Star Wars film. Tentatively titled Dawn of the Jedi, the film will be set 25,000 years before the original trilogy and will explore the origins of the Force. Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy announced the Mangold film at last year's Celebration London event. At the time, Mangold was fleshing out the idea into a story and was said to be writing it. The addition of Willimon brings it a step closer to becoming a reality. And he is the type of writer the film needs. Mangold has described his vision for the film as being on the order of a biblical epic, like the Ten Commandments. And Willimon has proven he can handle large-scale dramas. Known for his work as showrunner of the 2010 Netflix blockbuster House of Cards, Willimon also has experience crafting stories for the Star Wars universe. He wrote the critically acclaimed 3-episode prison arc for the Rogue One prequel series Andor, and was nominated for a writing Emmy for the arc's final episode, No Way Out. And as Forbes writer Paul Tassi pointed out, Willimon penned Luthen Rael's haunting monologue from that episode as well, where Stellan Skarsgård's character explains to a fellow rebel all that he has sacrificed for an empire-free future that he will never see. Lucasfilm's courting of the hot writer or director of the moments for its Star Wars productions has frustrated fans. In many cases, it appears that the company becomes more enamored with the person working on the series or film than on the material itself. But hiring Willimon will give him the opportunity to continue the quality work he began on Andor, building resonant characters, real stakes, and a compelling Star Wars story. And although Willimon has been announced as the co-writer of Dawn of the Jedi, it doesn't mean the project will be greenlit. Like any other production, his script has to align with the long-term vision the leaders at Lucasfilm have for the franchise. After all, if this film explains the origins of the Force, it could have a massive impact on how other Star Wars stories are told in the future. And it's up to Mangold and Willimon to establish a foundation that works within the Star Wars canon, yet gives viewers a fresh take on the franchise. A Cinematic Marathon. To celebrate May the 4th and the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace, Star Wars fans will have a chance to see all 9 films of the Skywalker saga in one day. The marathon will take place in 13 theaters across 11 states for a total runtime of 20 hours and 22 minutes. The movies will run in chronological order, beginning with Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and concluding with Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. In addition to the films, the marathon will also include a sneak peek of the new Disney Plus Star Wars series, The Acolyte, which premieres June 4th. And attendees will receive a limited edition poster marking the event. Tickets for the Skywalker Saga Marathon range from $45 to $100, depending on the theater. And now, Star Wars series news. Tales of the Empire. The Tales of the Jedi series is embracing its dark side. On April 4th, Lucasfilm announced a second season for the animated anthology. The first season of Tales of the Jedi premiered in fall of 2022, featuring 6 15-minute episodes that focused on 2 familiar characters. The first story arc showed Ahsoka's growth in the Force, from her ability to connect with others as an infant to the training under her mentor Anakin, which prepared her for survival during the rise of the Empire. The second gave us a look into Count Dooku's turn to the dark side, as he grew disillusioned by the Jedi under the Republic, and it highlighted the events that led him to become Palpatine's apprentice. This year, the Dave Filoni created series is getting a title change, from Tales of the Jedi to Tales of the Empire, and will showcase the stories of 2 characters who found themselves uniting with Imperial forces. According to the official release, the series focuses on previously untold events in the lives of the featured characters, and whose choices will define their destinies. The second season will detail Night Sister Morgan Elsbeth's quest for revenge after her family was massacred on her home planet of Dathomir. Elsbeth was first introduced in The Mandalorian, and her story continued in the live-action Ahsoka series. Tales of the Empire will also answer the 15-year-old question left unresolved by the Clone Wars animated series. What happened to Barriss Offee? Like Dooku, Offee was a Jedi Padawan who also grew disillusioned with the Jedi Order. And the last time viewers saw her, she had framed Ahsoka for the bombing of a Jedi temple, and was arrested and imprisoned before the events of Order 66 wiped out the Jedi Order. To the delight of Star Wars fans, Tales of the Empire features an array of beloved villains. Darth Vader, General Grievous, the Grand Inquisitor, and a younger Thrawn all make an appearance as they play key roles in shaping the histories of these complex characters. Will Morgan Elsbeth get the revenge she seeks? Will Barriss Offee become an Inquisitor under the former Jedi who imprisoned her? Tales of the Jedi premieres on May 4th. Please stand clear of the doors. And now, news from the theme parks. Loading the cannon. When Galaxy's Edge came to the Disney parks in 2019, the idea behind the immersive Star Wars land was that it was part of the Disney Star Wars canon. By stepping into the land, parkgoers were transported to the planet of Batuu. And the stories told in Galaxy's Edge took place in a specific part of the Skywalker Saga movie timeline, during the sequel trilogy and between the events of Episode 8, The Last Jedi, and the finale of Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. This strict adherence to that time period has been frustrating for some Star Wars fans. Visitors to the parks were disappointed that they would never meet their favorite characters from the prequels or the original trilogy, because those eras took place long before the sequel trilogy. As the sequel trilogy came to a close, however, The Rise of Skywalker affected the narrative presented at Galaxy's Edge. While it still made sense that visitors could see Rey and Chewbacca traveling through Batuu together, the idea that Kylo Ren would be alive and in Galaxy's Edge no longer aligned with the film's canon. This schism caused the Disney Imagineers to view the potential of the land from a different perspective. And beginning 2 years ago, in a surprising reversal, Disney introduced some of the characters from the Disney Plus streaming series to Batuu, like Din Djarin and Grogu from The Mandalorian, and Boba Fett and Fennec Shand from The Book of Boba Fett. And most recently, Sabine Wren, the Mandalorian rebel from the Ahsoka series, made her debut in the parks. The addition of these protagonists, ones in the newer series but whose stories took place 2 or 3 decades before the sequel trilogy, further disrupted Disney's original intent for storytelling in its Star Wars lands at the theme parks. During the kickoff to the Season of the Force Festival at Disneyland, Lucasfilm's Matt Martin explained how Galaxy's Edge is able to host the characters from different Star Wars eras and yet remain within a canonical timeline. In an interview with the entertainment and fandom website IO9, Martin said, "Star Wars storytelling is set across so many eras, and we wanted to give people the opportunity to meet characters from some of those new things that are coming out that may not be within the original intended timeline. So what we do is we try and look at the area each character is in as that exists where they are. They're visiting Batu in the time that you know them from the series, or somewhere close to it, and you're getting to meet them then and there. And Walt Disney Imagineering has a pretty good way of ensuring that those characters don't intrude on each other. That way your immersion isn't broken when you're meeting Sabine in one place and walk off and meet Kylo Ren elsewhere." So what could this mean for the future? Disney knows that a substantial part of its fan base wants to see characters from the original trilogy in the parks. And for many, it was the dream when Galaxy's Edge was first announced. And now, the idea of seeing Han Solo and Chewbacca standing by the Millennium Falcon, or the bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back pursuing the rebels through the Batuu marketplace, or even Darth Vader arriving on Batuu, is possible. And with the sheer amount of Jedi characters and unique creatures and villains from the prequel trilogy, Disney can introduce the most exciting elements from that era as well. The stories introduced in the Clone Wars series could extend to Batuu as well, giving visitors the chance to meet many of the clones in person for the first time. And the land may also become a visiting spot for characters from the standalone films, like Rogue One and Solo. And it's safe to assume that Disney will continue to pepper its parks with heroes from its streaming shows. I think Disney may use these appearances in new ways as well. Introducing characters in a Disney After Dark event or during one of the exclusive seasonal festivals would entice fans to travel to the parks to meet them or to take photos with them. And Disney could continue a character's story in videos filmed at the park, which would then distribute across social media to advertise an appearance. But the true benefit is to finally make parkgoers' wishes come true, and to bring the characters they love and desire to see to the Disney theme parks. Galactic Beverages. Remnants of the Galactic Star Cruiser are coming to Disneyland. During April and May, the Disney Park will celebrate the Season of the Force, a festival with Star Wars-themed experiences. In addition to transforming Space Mountain into Hyperspace Mountain and offering unique activities at Galaxy's Edge, Disneyland will serve drinks made specifically for the failed Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel. The Galactic Star Cruiser was a two-day, two-night interactive experience in which guests immerse themselves in the world of Star Wars. It closed due to poor attendance last September, as many Star Wars fans felt it was too expensive. But fans no longer have to pay $5,000 or stay at a two-night hotel to try some of the Galactic Star Cruiser drinks, as they will be available at Oga's Cantina in Galaxy's Edge. During the Season of the Force, guests can order a Fiery Mustafarian, a tequila and liqueur-based drink with peach puree and syrup, and lime juice, with a dropper of spicy lava syrup. And the Silver Sea Martini consists of gin, lemonade, ginger syrup, honey, and mint syrup, topped with a shimmery butterfly pea tower tea. Guests can also order either of the Star Cruiser drinks in a Chandrillon chalice or a Chandrillon orb glass, which were two of the souvenir drinkware from the hotel. Research and development for the Star Cruiser was reported to be a substantial cost to the company. And with the hotel shuttered, Disney will likely continue to find ways to capitalize on what its team created by incorporating some of the food, drinks, design elements, and experiences into its theme parks. And now, additional Star Wars news. Bantha Beverages. One more story for you. If you're craving a glass of Tatooine's finest beverage, you'll only have to travel as far as your grocery store. Milk distributor Trumoo is offering blue milk, the first time the beverage has been offered in stores since Star Wars premiered 47 years ago. It is available for a limited time and in half-gallon containers. The label describes the drink as blue-colored, vanilla-flavored, low-fat milk with other natural flavors. A reviewer for the website Nerdist tried it and described its taste as a very delicate, melted vanilla ice cream. And the Trumoo blue milk sounds much more delicious than the version used in the 1977 movie. When asked about it, actor Mark Hamill, who portrayed Luke Skywalker, said it was long life milk, used by campers because it required no refrigeration. He added, "It was oily, warm, and slightly sweet. It literally made me gag, but I was determined to drink it on camera. It was an acting challenge to appear as though I had enjoyed it." So at your local supermarket, you can get all the blue milk you can drink without having to milk a Bantha yourself. Happy May the 4th. So that is your Star Wars news for the month of April, straight from the Galactic News Desk. The Star Wars news cycle has been a steady flow of stories since I began the series, and it's been such a rewarding experience covering April's events. The vinyl Cape Jawa auction at Goodwill definitely captured a lot of attention during its run, but I found the conversations examining the item's condition and their valuation within the collecting groups to be fascinating and insightful. I'm very excited about David Tree's exhibit and how fans respond to seeing some of the unproduced toy concepts from the Phantom Menace line, the ones that never made it to retail outlets. And while it's reassuring to know that Lucasfilm has finally set an official date for the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, I honestly wonder if the company's constant shifting slate and vagueness about the future of the franchise will turn off a lot of fans from sticking around for the upcoming releases. With the first film being at least 2 years away from arriving in theaters, coupled with the largely disappointing third season of The Mandalorian, I've seen the larger love for the series dim a bit. When it premiered in 2019, there was Mando-mania around the world. Grogu became the most popular character from the Disney era, and even people who weren't Star Wars fans watched the series. But now that the general excitement has died down, and with such long gaps between the next chapter, regardless of whether one appears in streaming or in theaters, it will be interesting to see how viewers embrace that next part of the story, when it arrives. As an Andor fan, I was thrilled to see Bo Willimon's name attached to the upcoming James Mangold film. One of my biggest issues with the various Star Wars series on Disney Plus has been with the quality of the writing and the consistency of the storytelling. But Willimon did a fantastic job with the Andor scripts. We don't know if the Dawn of the Jedi film will be produced, but if it goes forward, we've already seen what Bo Willimon can do in Star Wars. Tales of the Empire looks to be another compelling animated story. 2 weeks ago, I spoke with someone who had worked on Tales of the Jedi, and he described the heart and creativity that Dave Filoni and the team put into making each episode. And my only major complaint about the first season was that I wanted more of it. I love that the upcoming season will flesh out Morgan Elsbeth's character, and will finally explain what happened to Barriss Offee after Order 66. I'm also thrilled that Disney is welcoming Star Wars characters from different eras in its theme parks, and that it is able to do so without obliterating the canon. The first thing the company did after purchasing Lucasfilm was to clearly define what content was canon, and to lean into that timeline. And if the stories continue in places like Galaxy's Edge, playing within the boundaries of that canon is a solid idea. The possibilities are endless, and the Imagineers are creative enough to figure out how to do it. And finally, whether the idea of blue milk makes your mouth water or turns your stomach, the fact that it's appearing in our grocers' refrigerators for the first time made me smile. It's been fun to watch our friends posting photos showing a half gallon or two in their shopping carts, or the displays at the supermarket, or their reactions after trying the Tatooine specialty. And while it may seem silly to some, It's another chance to bring what we saw on screen into our homes. To taste a little bit of the world we dreamed about as children, from a galaxy far, far away. I can promise you, the month of May will be even more exciting, as we celebrate another May the 4th with the premiere of Tales of the Empire. And we're gearing up for an all-new live-action series in June with The Acolyte. And in the meantime, we have collector events like Rogue Fun to anticipate and to discuss. So who knows what else May will bring us? Stay tuned for more from the Galactic News Desk on Star Wars, Prototypes, and Production.